Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Hello there, Second Captains listeners. You guys hopefully heard Sunday night's World Cup podcast, so you know Ken got off to a blistering start by hurling himself full pelt into a glass door before a ball had even been kicked in anger. Well, he's taken that fine form from off the field right into his football reportage in the last few days. Hey, Murph, how are you?
Hey, Owen, how's it going? It is hard to remember that all happened even before the first game. The man's ability to get himself into a scrape, and indeed give himself a scrape, really knows no bounds.
Well, listen, the Monday Only listeners have missed everything that's happened since then. Firstly, Ken's unfortunate mishap has made itself onto one of our new audio beds.
The press, they are garbage.
And whoever gets to run FIFA going forward needs to be clean and people
honest.
Yeah. Have to be.
I feel Qatari, Arab, African, gay, disabled, a migrant worker.
We are now in this amazing place.
Yeah.
Clearly Qatar has far more money than FIFA ever would and they could bankrupt FIFA.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Lift goes down to the lobby. Burst out through the doors like Shergar and smash straight into the fucking glass. And bounce backwards like off a trampoline. And I sort of lie there twitching. And the hotel produced the first aid kit. Tell him he's Henry Winter and send him back out there. I'm here to do a job.
Of course, I'm not really a migrant worker.
The winner is Qatar.
The trampoline sound effect is the nice touch out of that one, I think. I'm sure we're all agreed on that.
There's a lot of blood, sweat and tears went into that one. Some of that blood Ken's.
But Ken has no time to wallow in his obvious physical pain. He's got a tournament to cover. Looking for an eyewitness to one of the greatest shocks in World Cup history, is Saudi Arabia do a job on Argentina? Ken Early's your man.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm some kind of Nostradamus or whatever, because certainly I didn't predict this result, nor did I predict it at halftime. But I do. It is on the record in my WhatsApp. I can send you a screen grab of my WhatsApp at 1:44. And my analysis
at that time... Yeah, our listeners will actually also need to see that as well.
My analysis at that time was, Argentina are getting a bit freaked out here, I think. Saudi's chasing them. So, I mean, you know, all I'm saying is... Wow.
Sorry, at what point was that? It was early second half before the equalizer.
It's the end of the first half.
End of the first half. Okay, yeah.
1:44. Okay. Yes, quote, one of those days, unquote, my correspondent replies. So I'm not saying the signs were there, but there was something in the air, something... And of course, the crowd was actually a factor in this game because... The Saudi crowd was huge and loud. And okay, I think that the Saudi crowd had mostly actually come from Saudi Arabia, right? Because Saudi Arabia is the nearest neighbor of Qatar. I mean, they can drive here, whereas Argentina is on the other side of the world. And there were a fair few people there who had traveled from Argentina. But I think most of the Argentina crowd, which looked bigger in the stadium, if you saw it on TV, if you're looking around the stadium, it's like there's more blue and white here than there is green and white, because there's a lot of people also wearing white robes. But I don't think that that support was as, I think the Argentinian support was more multinational than just Argentina. There were people, there were lovers of Argentina from every quarter of the, from the earth there. And what I mean is that the Saudi crowd was much louder and more intense, and they were cheering every single tackle and every challenge and every kind of spirited show by their players. Whereas Argentina, you know, Argentina were supposed to be winning the game easily and kind of felt like they were, but then they weren't. And I just feel so,
Yeah, the Saudi crowd actually reminded me of like an Irish crowd applauding James McLean. There was a lot of like slide tackles getting like unbelievably raucous receptions. Yeah. There was and one like about 35 yards out from like the Saudi goal. Literally nothing on. And the guy just slid in and knocked it out for a throw. And it was like this the loudest roar that I'd heard at the World Cup to that point.
And that makes a difference. If a team is ready to kind of use that energy, you know, that can start to make a difference, especially against a team that's like missing chance after chance or kind of making small mistakes which are costing it easy goals, as Argentina were doing. And it begins to kind of change things a little bit. But obviously what then happened was immediately after halftime, they scored. And they scored. It's Messi who loses the ball. Messi with two guys around him. They take the ball off him. I think it's the Saudi captain. A ball just straight up the pitch. Like, you know, doesn't look to either side. Just knocks it straight to the guy in front of him who's, you know, 30 yards out. He seemed to kind of make a hames of it somehow, but like it sort of dribbles to the guy to his left. And then this is the crucial moment. Romero, I don't think should have been playing. You know, Romero is like one of Argentina's best defenders. Like, there's no question that he gets in their best team. But Romero isn't really fully fit, I don't think. I mean, he hasn't really had a great season for Tottenham. He's been struggling with injury. And he just didn't look. Why is this more of a problem in the World Cup than anyone else? Because I think in the World Cup, you're playing against guys who really are giving it like 7,000%. You know, this is it. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it for them. This is the biggest game they'll ever play. This is like the game of their lives. And you're not fit.
But it didn't stop there. Another day, another giant shock, this time at the Khalifa International Stadium. Now, Murph, this is something we actually failed to register as we were talking to Ken from the Japan game. It only occurred to us afterwards, so that we can share this one with our Monday Only listeners here. Ken Early is the luckiest of lucky charms for Japan at World Cups.
Yes.
This is the man who all attended their victory against the mighty South Africa in the 2015 World Cup, and now he is there to witness their greatest ever moment on the World Cup stage.
Owen, well, I'm not joking. He might be the only person to be at both of those sporting events. I mean, when you think about
some Japanese sports journalists.
I know, maybe like a Keith, maybe a Malachi Clerken type, you know,
someone in the Japanese media firmament. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Someone who, you know, covers the full scope. Then again, Japan is a very large country. You know, there's a lot more specialization required there, perhaps, to get to the very top of the tree. Yeah, I think it's something worth investigating. I might make a few calls to Japan to figure out if there is one sports journalist who is at both of those sporting events, and if possible, to get Ken to meet that person and just discuss Eddie Jones's managerial acumen one more time.
Yeah, exactly. How did he manage to get that rolling ball going against the mighty Springbok pack? Anyway, as you can imagine, Ken had plenty to say about how the Japanese footballers engineered this famous victory against Germany. But this is also the match that featured one of the big symbolic moments of the tournament so far, as the German players covered their mouths in the "we've been gagged" gesture during the team photo as a protest at FIFA banning them from wearing the One Love armbands.
I wasn't looking at it when it happened, so I didn't see them do this. I was sitting in the very back row of the Khalifa Stadium in a non-desk press overflow area seat. Like, you might as well be standing over the sandwich board saying, "I am shit." It's like, I'm the lowest of the low. Nobody knows how FIFA even let me in here.
Did it make you ring a bell?
No. There was no actual further humiliation other than the fact that you're sitting in this section. And I was literally the furthest away in the highest of the stands, in the furthest back of the seats at the back of like the curve of stand. I had the furthest. It's one of the furthest seats I've ever had at a football game. just watching. So I didn't see this gesture by the drum players. I did obviously see it then when all the photos appeared of it, and I was like, okay, this is what they've done. And there was talk that they were going to do something, or, you know, Oliver Bierhoff said, we'll have to do something. And I think in Germany there was more pressure to not just do what the other four teams, so I think it's England, Wales, Holland and Denmark had so far kind of just done it and said, okay, we're not doing the Ironman thing, this is unfortunate, but, you know, let's just get on with it. In Germany, there's been a lot of there's been a huge amount of criticism of the World Cup. Like, I saw that the opening game of the World Cup in Germany, the figures were down 40% on 2018. Now, some of that has to do, I'm sure, with it being Qatar versus Ecuador, which isn't like, oh, you know. But you would still have thought that the opening match of the World Cup is going to be the program with the biggest share on German television that night. I mean, Germany is a football obsessed country, but apparently he was third and was beaten by they have some crime procedural called Tatort, which crime
means,
scene.
It means line of duty, doesn't it?
I think it's their word for crime scene. I'm not actually sure, but this apparently got more viewers than the World Cup opener, because lots of people are like, oh, I can't be arsed with that, you know, and the whole. The armband thing, I think, had taken off a bit. Certainly you can see, right, in the Bundesliga, in the last fixtures, there were several protests at different stadiums where the fans had, you know, produced the big banners saying, basically, fuck this World Cup. And so a lot of the kind of, I guess, football hardcore are against this idea. You had politicians getting involved. The German Interior Minister was actually there today, Nancy Faeser. She's the one we were talking about before. Remember, she was the one who said the World Cup obviously shouldn't be in countries like Qatar. And then, like, it was like, oh, well, you know, sorry about that, Qatar. Obviously, we don't mean, you know, that we don't buy your gas. She was there wearing the armband. Of course, the referee couldn't book her. And they also had, one of their sponsors had pulled out, making a statement. The sponsor in question was Heve, who are a bit like Aldi.
We got an email about this actually, Ken. Connor Hughes had emailed in to say that, I didn't know how to pronounce that, so I do thank you, that they are ending their cooperation with the DFB with immediate effect in response to FIFA's decision on the One Love armband. I'm hoping this will be the push. This is yesterday we got this email in from Connor. I'm hoping this will be the push that the German team need to find their ire. E-I-E-R,
which
I'm translating balls. Yeah. Okay. Directly translates as eggs. I'm going to say I prefer the term eggs. So hopefully the German team will find their eggs and stand up for what they believe in. It's totally crazy that it's left to corporations to defend our values.
Yeah, but you know what about this, right? Remember we were over in Berlin last year. So we were in Berlin in October 2021. And one of the days I went for, I think it was the day after our show. So I was completely destroyed. I can't remember if it was the day after the show or the. But anyway, I ended up going, getting up really early, you know, in that mad way you sometimes do. When you wake up and you know you won't be able to go back to sleep. And I went for a kind of tour, jaunt around Berlin, just to go. I was going around in a scooter for a while. I was doing a bit of walking, going around in my scooter, and I found my way to the kind of big central area in West Berlin, the Breitscheidplatz, which is near like the zoo station and that blown up church. What's it called? The Gedächtniskirche or whatever. As I was going around there. There was a big political protest of some kind that kind of caught my eye. So I sort of stopped to have a look at what this was. And what it turned out to be was it was striking retail workers.
Oh, yeah. I walked past the same one separately to you. I took a gander myself.
Well, guess who those guys worked for, Owen?
Ah, that same company.
They worked for Reva. Yeah, they worked for, well, and also a couple of other, they were retail workers. So they all worked in this German sector for I forget the companies, but I remember seeing Ray-Ban because when I saw this story, I thought, isn't that the crowd who were the workers were having a strike when I was in Berlin. So I went back and looked at the photos that I'd taken, and it was them. I looked it up, and it was this union called Verdi who had organized these workers. And basically, you know the way in Ireland we've got like German supermarkets, and we have these German supermarkets everywhere. Why are the Germans so good at having supermarkets in other people's countries? Apparently it's because the German supermarket or grocery business is like the most competitive in the world. Walmart tried to go into Germany, right? Walmart, who are famed as like the most sort of cutthroat, price undercutting, efficient American capitalist entity, right? You know, like they're blamed for like hollowing out America by destroying every American town because they move in and nobody can compete with their low prices, and suddenly all the businesses are gone and it's just this giant Walmart, right? That's mm-hmm. the kind of thing. Walmart went into Germany and like absolutely just got knocked out in the first round, right? They could not compete.
Their outrageous overheads were laughed at by the Germans.
It was like, what kind of an operation are you guys running? Like, you know.
There's a lot of fat I could trim off this.
Yeah, these skeletal German firms, looking at them. Now, obviously, this competitiveness also means competitiveness on wages. These companies don't get to be the world's most competitive by overpaying their workers, let's say, or even paying their workers a living wage, their workers would say. So that was what that protest was about. And I actually went and looked it up when I saw this thing. So at the time, those workers were asking, the inflation was 4%. The workers were asking for 4.5% and a minimum wage of €12.50, which doesn't sound like a lot for a company with a 70 billion turnover like Rewe. They were offering 2% plus a further 1.2% increase the following year. So that was when inflation was 4%. Now in Germany, the inflation last month was 10%. So I actually don't know what the resolution was or if there has been one. But it just struck me. I mean, there was a quote from the Rewe CEO, a guy called Lionel Suk, who sounds like he's an area in this city. He says, "We stand up for diversity, and football is also diversity. We live this position and we defend it. FIFA's scandalous attitude is absolutely unacceptable." So he's kind of, you know, he's standing up for the values, you know, which is nice. But also, like, pay your workers, you know. I mean, it just kind of seems to me as though, and I don't sound like I'm Gianni Infantino here either. I think fair enough, but like, to kind of make this stand, but also be kind of, you know, maybe also look after your own people.
So you're saying, you know, corporations are grandstanding on issues that are of minimal importance to them, while not really minding their own backyard. I think we're familiar with that particular move over
the
years.
It seemed almost like advertising, you know, like this thing that they did. And again, you know, I don't want to like totally dismiss what they're doing, you know. I mean, it's good to stand up for principles, but like there are also principles, like it's good to pay your workers a fair wage. So it'd be great if they could also maybe consider standing up for that principle at some point.
We got an email in here from a listener based on what Ken was talking about there, with a fairly wild story about another German supermarket today. It involves a kidnapping and a ransom that was negotiated over 17. There was a lot of stuff going on, but the listener did sign up by saying, "Having enjoyed the new German supermarket segment, I thought I might as well chip in." So I don't know if that is one that's going to stick, Murphy.
It might not fly. I'm going to make a prediction right now, only it may not fly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Take your time there. Take your time. Take your time. Relax, relax. Now. Oh, what a pass. What a pass. What a reverse
Colin
pass.
Whelan. Go. Whelan, go. Whelan. That's a goal for you, Didi.
Welcome to heaven, Whelan. Welcome to heaven. Give him the ball on his feet. He will do the magic. Welcome to heaven. Oh, he was amazing. He was amazing. Welcome to heaven. Whelan, Whelan, Whelan. Fantastico. Welcome to heaven.
This being a World Cup, we've had a worldwide selection of brilliant contributors already over the first few days, including that man you just heard, League of Ireland legend and former Cameroon international Joey Ndoh.
Welcome to heaven!
Yeah, he's on the show tonight to bring a bit of Joey Ndoh-ness to proceedings. This guy is what you'd call, I don't know, does our generation use this, Murph, but the generation older than us in Ireland would have used the word a tonic to describe Joey Ndoh.
He is a tonic. He's also a tonic who's played in two World Cups, we should make, we should stress, but he is a tonic.
Oh. He was brilliant, even though his team was beaten 1-0 by Switzerland. Let's just say he's not giving up hope. In fact, he still believes very much Cameroon can win the World Cup. This is the kind of stuff you want to hear when you're talking to somebody, especially when you're slightly concerned that his usually upbeat nature might be somewhat dimmed by the defeat. No, not a bit of it. It takes a lot more than that to knock the stuffing out of Joey Ndoh, I'll tell you that. So that's on. That hasn't even been out yet for our members. That one is going out tonight, but we've recorded it in the last couple of hours. It's a very fluid situation here, recording all these pieces that were put into these shows. We should also mention that the end result every evening is that we put the World Cup podcasts out on the night. So tonight's pod will be released shortly after the big Brazil-Serbia match. As we record, I've no idea what's going to happen in that Brazil-Serbia game. In fact, I'm just about to watch Portugal play against Ghana. So let's wrap this up, Murph. That's enough for the non-members. If you want to sign up, secondcaptains.com, €5 a month plus VAT. You are missing a lot there on events at the 2022 World Cup. Second Captains Podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. I've got to thank you, Murph. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Owen.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, they never go home, they never go home, those boys.
It is not war and death and famine, it's not that at all. It's the opposite of that, it's the persuasion of the world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.